Episode 104, Oregon, the Struggle for Possession, Part 4.
Welcome to the Principles in Practice podcast. This is where we discuss biblical principles for life and learning. I'm your host, Heather Hall, and this is my co-host,
Brian Hall.
Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. Thank you for joining me for Chapter 4 of Oregon, the Struggle for Possession, written by William Barrows in 1883. This is a primary resource for America, and I am sharing with you about Oregon's providential history. If you missed chapters 1 through 3, you can find chapter 1 in episode 95, chapter 2 in episode 98, and chapter 3 in episode 101. Chapter 4, Russia declines the struggle. Peter the Great, shortly after his death in 1725, determined to look up the countries beyond the seas that made his eastern boundaries. He knew that the Spanish and French and English had trading colonies in those regions, and he proposed to enter there as a rival, if not as an invader. His death came too soon for the execution of his plan, but Catherine, his widow and successor, attempted the enterprise, and so dispatched that distinguished navigator, Bering the Dane, on a voyage of discovery 3 years after Peter died. Bering established the fact that Asia and America are separated by the strait which now bears his name, and yet, strange to say, he twice passed through it without knowing it to be a strait, or that the American continent was near to him. His success led to a second voyage of discovery in 1741, in which the American shores were brought to light, and the name of St. Elias given to that eminent mountain. After this, they ran about among the Aleutian Islands. At length, they sought a return to Kamchatka, and after headwinds, sickness, and many casualties, they took to winter quarters on a small island 80 miles off that coast, where the vessel was afterward wrecked. Here, the gallant and daring man made his grave with 30 of his men, and history has affixed his name to the island as if a monument, and indeed it is but a pile of granite. The survivors of the unfortunate expedition carried home with them choice furs and made large profits on their sale. This led to individual enterprises in those hard seas, and in 1766 to the organization of companies for the Russian fur trade. While, therefore, France had been hastening through a series of reverses to quit North America, Russia was preparing to take it, and she was well established on the northwest coast by the time the United States were a nation. 2 years before the century closed, the Russian-American Fur Company was formed, with exclusive rights of trapping and trading for 20 years between latitude 55 and Bering Strait. The company soon occupied the American coast for 1,000 miles, up and down, and also the Aleutian archipelago, with their chief traders, sailors, and native helpers. Meanwhile, New Englanders worked into the same region and lucrative trade, and 10 years after the organization of the Russian company to the court of St. Petersburg, made formal remonstrance to the United States that Americans were furnishing the natives of the Northwest with firearms and ammunition. In the diplomatic correspondence which followed our minister to that court, John Quincy Adams drew out the fact that this Russian company set up claims to the entire coast and islands between Bering Strait and the mouth of the Columbia, and at the same time was extending its trade and monopoly down the coast. In 1812, the Russians obtained permission of the Spanish governor of California to found a trading post at Bodega Bay, a little north of San Francisco. Their ostensible object and real permission were to lay in beef there from the wild cattle for their northern posts and traders. In 2 or 3 years, they had so multiplied and fortified themselves that the authorities of California remonstrated and finally ordered them to leave, when the Russians coolly replied that they had concluded to remain. They did so, and in 1820 established another Fortitude trading house, about 40 miles farther north. In the following year, the Russian government claimed, by public decree, all the northwest coast and islands north of latitude 51 and down the Asiatic coast as low as 45 degrees and 50 minutes, and forbade all foreigners to come within 100 miles of the coasts, except in cases of extremity. To this bold claim, our Secretary of State, John Quincy Adams, objected most strenuously as infringing on the usages and immemorial rights of Americans, and he denied most emphatically that Russia laid any just claim on that coast south of the 55th degree. As Russia had claims on both the American and Asiatic coasts, she claimed the islands between as a close sea. Mr. Adams replied to Chevalier de Politi, the Russian minister, that an ocean 4,000 miles wide could hardly be regarded as a close sea, and that the Americans would continue to exercise their ancient privileges in those northern waters. There, the correspondence closed. Great Britain made similar protestations. The American protests were emphasized in 1823 by the proclamation of the Monroe Doctrine, so called. The substance of this noted doctrine was in these words, that the American continents, by the free and independent condition which they have assumed and maintain, are henceforth not to be considered as subjects for colonization by any European power. After much correspondence, it was agreed between Russia and the United States in 1824 that the United States should make no new claims north of 54 degrees 40 minutes, and the Russians none south of it. Russia also made a similar agreement with Great Britain the next year, and the two were to be binding for 10 years, but with the privilege of continued navigation and trade where they had been previously enjoyed. When the 10 years expired, Russia served notice on the United States and Great Britain of the discontinuance of their navigation and trade north of the agreed line of 54 degrees 40 minutes. A compromise was effected between Russia and Great Britain by a lease from Russia to the Hudson Bay Company of the coast and margin from 54 degrees 40 minutes to Cape Spencer, near 58 degrees. That narrow strip of Alaska, which now lies between British Columbia and the Pacific. With the United States, matters were finally adjusted to mutual satisfaction. But England was ambitious to hold Oregon and California, and therefore those two Russian colonies in the latter were an annoyance and a check to her. The Russians had posted themselves strongly at Bodea, having built a stockade with blockhouses and the two towers of which mounted 3 guns each. It had only 1 gate, and this was protected by a brass 9-pounder. In 1836, it had 300 men besides 60 or more Kodiak Indians. There's a footnote here about the Kodiak Indians. Sir Edward Belcher's Voyages Round the World, 1836-42, Volume 1, pages 313-15. It will be noticed that, after the loose and adventurous manner of those times, the Russians were in possession both north and south of the Oregon of our narrative. Of course, they were liable to gain a footing in it by trade with the natives and by agriculture. They had intimated to the United States that they had no rights in California while they notified the Mexican government that they had come to stay. The English accused the Russians of infringing treaty obligations by making and holding settlements south of 54 degrees 40 minutes and asked Mexico to expel them. Mexico was willing, but not able, and therefore asked for the kindly offices of the United States in the matter. At our request, Russia withdrew from California and relinquished all claims and ambitions south of 54 degrees 40 minutes. Russia, therefore, was counted out from among the competitors for Oregon. We started in our story with 7 European powers, which might be regarded as fairly competitors for Oregon. We have seen them drop out one by one, as in some exciting boat race. Now, one near the prize, vigorous and well posted on both sides of it, withdraws. Only two remain for us to watch. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode about Oregon's providential history as documented by historian William Barrows of 1883. I look forward to having you join me for Chapter 5.
As always, if you're looking for additional resources or support, you can visit our website at principalacademy.com, check out our shop and our blog, and you can also find us on Facebook at Christian Homeschooling with Bible Principles, also on Instagram under Principal Academy. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Well, this is Heather Hall.
And this is Brian Hall.
For Christ and His glory.